Surely not a very restful place. And we tend to equate that with the events of today. But the world has never been a restful place. But in thinking about that as he was talking, the church at Traverse City, Michigan, Faith Missionary Baptist Church, holds a conference every year about the second week of October, right when the colors on the trees and everything up there in northern Michigan are pristine and very beautiful. But I don't know for how many years now the theme has been we see Jesus, and then he always adds something to that. This year's theme was, we see Jesus, our greatest need. And of course, to those who are lost and without Christ, Jesus is their greatest need. You need to see him. He's your greatest need. But he's not only the greatest need to those who don't know Jesus Christ as their Savior. To us who do, to those of us who are in Christ, he's our greatest need. He's our greatest need as we journey through this life in this world. We need Jesus. He's our greatest need. He's our greatest need to help us through those times, difficult times, those times of trial and those times of tribulation, those times of sickness. Even in great health, he's still our greatest need. We need Jesus, and he is our greatest need. Very good messages, always, every year, they're very good messages. I invite you to find them on YouTube, Faith Missionary Baptist Church, it's FMBC, and it's in Traverse City, Michigan, of course, and listen to those messages, very good. Brother Bowen opened service Friday night, and then Brother Dan Gordon, and just different ones. It was really good. Brother Hugan was on there as well. So if you get a chance, well, look them up on YouTube and listen to those messages. Turn with me this afternoon to the book of Ephesians and chapter 6. The book of Ephesians and chapter 6. We are ready in this study of the sixth chapter of Ephesians to begin at verses 5 through 9. But let's begin reading with verse 1, and then we'll read down through verse 9 this afternoon. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with thee, and thou mayest live long on the earth. And ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in nurture and admonition of the Lord. Servants, be obedient to them that are your masters, according to the flesh, with fear and trembling, in singleness of your heart, as unto Christ. Not with eye service as men pleasers, but as the servants of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart, with good will, doing service, as to the Lord, and not to men, knowing that whatsoever good thing any man do, the same shall he receive of the Lord, whether he be bond or free. And ye masters, do the same things unto them, forbearing, threatening, knowing that your master also is in heaven, neither is there respect of persons with him. This point I've labeled submissive servants and masters. The specific wording of submission began in chapter 5 and verse 21. But certainly the theme of submission began in chapter 4, beginning with verse 2. Especially and down through. So it just continues the thought that has been there concerning submission. And I remind you again of who this letter was written to. It was written to the saved. Members of the church at Ephesus. This letter is written to save to members of the Lord's churches today. So keep that in mind as we go through this. Try to remind you of it when we're dealing with children. Dealing with fathers, parents. Keep in mind who the letter was written to. Now we're dealing with servants and masters. Keep in mind who the letter's written to. The duty of servants. Be the saved. Are servants of Jesus Christ. He is Lord. And we serve Him as Lord. And we're to serve Him in all that we do. We're to be obedient to Him in all that we do. This means that we work for Him. He's the master. Whether we be husbands, or whether we be wives, whether we be children, all our children. Whether we be parents, we are all servants of the Lord. And we are to obey Him. He's the one that left us the instructions concerning husbands to their wives, and wives to their husbands, and children to their parents, and parents to their children. And now He's the one giving us instructions concerning servants and masters of the flesh. He has left us these instructions. And I would have you to note that in the address this afternoon, He's addressing servants in the flesh. And there are four verses that are taken up with this address, servants, in regards to their masters, leaving us with one verse in regards to masters to servants. But that one verse packs into it everything that is said in the four verses to the servants. And it packs it in there by this statement, "Ye masters, do the same things unto them." And of course, when we get to verse 9, we'll cover that more in depth. So we want to remember that in our service to our earthly masters, whoever they be, we serve earthly masters even in the church setting. Scripture bears that out. The work setting, and generally that's where our minds go to most prominently, is to the work setting. But it's in every avenue of our life. And we are to obey them. You see, this means that we work for Christ, and in working for Him, we work not only to provide for ourselves, but also to secure enough to provide for others in the physical sense. We work, we labor with our hands, we toil with our life, and we do that in the thought and in most of my life and most of the minds of people today, even church members today, is that we work to provide for our families and enjoy the benefits of life. But if you turn with me over to the fourth chapter, and we covered this when we were there, and look at verse 28. "Let him that stole steal no more, but rather let him labor." And this labor, we're all labor. Not just those that stole, but this is addressed to those that stole. Let him join the rest of the people and labor, working with his hands, the thing which is good, that he may have to give to him that needeth. You see, we're not just to work to provide for our families and provide for ourselves and provide a comfortable living for ourselves. We're to work to provide for our families, and that which is left over, we're to help those in need. And how many of us cannot do with a little bit less in order to help someone in need? In other words, they're destitute of what they have. And so that is the thought and encouragement to us at work, that we might in turn share and help others who are in need. We work and partake of the fruits of our own labor. Then we give to others. Right? Pretty simple, isn't it? And listen, this is not just said in Ephesians chapter 4. This this is not some new thought that the Apostle Paul, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, came up with. But this was Old Testament teaching as well. This was taught to the Old Testament Israelites. They were not to round the corners of the field. In other words, they weren't to harvest. They were to leave. They were not to glean their fields. In other words, they were to leave that which fell in the harvesting process. They were to leave that behind. They were to leave it behind for whom? Those that were in need. And the book of Proverbs talks about we that have and we that live, give to the poor to help them as well. Servants were generally slaves. That is, during the Roman Empire. The time in which this was written, the Roman Empire was in existence. During the Roman Empire, servants were generally slaves, and there were untold millions of them. Join the Roman Empire. Some commentaries venture a number out there. Where they got the number, I don't know. But just it suffices to know that there were millions of slaves during the period of the Roman Empire. And just as children are to be obedient to parents, so are servants to be obedient to their masters. We've already read that in verse 5. Servants, be obedient to them that are your masters. Turn with me to the book of Colossians. The book of Colossians in chapter 3. And verse 22, servants, obey in all things your masters according to the flesh. I mean, this verse here is almost identical to what we read in Ephesians chapter 6. Look with me at 1 Timothy. 1 Timothy. In chapter 6, and look at verses 1 and 2. Let as many servants as are under the yoke, under bondage, count their own master worthy of all honor. And how do you do that? By obeying them. That the name of God and His doctrine be not blasphemed. Just as Ephesians was written to save members of the church at Ephesus, and just as Colossians, the book of Colossians, was written to save members at the church of Colossae, 1 Timothy chapter 6 is written to an individual. We're talking about you servants, you people of God that are servants of the Lord Jesus Christ, and servants to individuals in flesh. You obey them. You honor them. You revere them. Why? That the name of God and His doctrine be blasphemed. A rebellious servant who is a child of God, he blasphemes the doctrine and name of God. He causes it to be blasphemed. You've heard messages. You've heard me. I've referred to the fact that people are watching us. The unsaved are watching us. They see everything that we do. They see how we behave. What kind of a testimony are we portraying? I remember at the, 6 years ago now, at the 25th anniversary of the organizing of this church in 2016, Brother Eddie Bowen, one of the speakers, preached on glass houses. The child of God, and church members in particular, we live in glass houses. That means we live in houses that people are watching us. And they're seeing everything that we do. And when we disobey and don't honor our masters according to the flesh, when we rebel against them, we give occasion for the doctrine of God and God to be, the name of God to be blasphemed. They will blaspheme the name of God. And they that have believing masters, let them not despise them because they are brethren. our responsibility just increases. If we're a saved servant and our master is saved, we're brethren. We're brethren. What was it Abraham taught? When the strife arose between the herdsmen of Abraham and the herdsmen of Lot? And the passage of Scripture makes plain note that the Canaanite and a couple others dwelt in the land. In other words, they were onlookers to Abraham and to Lot. They were beholding Abraham. They were beholding Lot. And Abraham says, this is not right. This is my paraphrase. This is not right. We be brethren. So, we're put in remembrance of that fact. That if our servant is saved, we're saved. If the servant is saved and the master is saved, you're brethren. Don't you despise one or the other because you are our brethren. But rather do them service because they are faithful and beloved, partakers of the benefit. These things teach and exhort. So here Timothy is being instructed to teach his flock, probably the church at Ephesus, these things. Paul wrote the letter instructing them in these things. Then when Timothy's their pastor, Paul had written a letter to Timothy to instruct these things, continue the instruction of these things. Turn with me the book of Titus. The book of Titus, in chapter 2. And look with me here at verses 9 and 10. Exhort servants to be obedient unto their own masters, and to please them well in all things. Not answering again. Not railing on them. Not speaking the contrary wise to them. Not purloining. Not pilfering. Not embezzling. But showing all good faith, that they may adorn the doctrine of God, our Savior, in all things. You see, I was taught It was embedded in me to, when I was working at some place, I gave them my all, and I would seek to 110%. Well, understand this. When the Lord called me into the ministry, He put within my heart a desire to be preaching the word, to be pastoring one of His churches, and to be doing it full time. And that desire did not leave and has not left to this day. And it wasn't long after taking the first pastorate, I had to go to work, and I had to go to work at Walmart. And after a while, I just wasn't wanting to be there. And not only that, have physical ailments, just being hard. And I had a bad countenance about it. Until I'm starting to preach, and I'm starting to preach on this kind of a subject. And not only that, I didn't want people to go around thinking, even though I said, just call me the grumpy old man, because I was the old man in the deli there at Walmart, and I said, just call me the grumpy old man. But I didn't want people to see me looking grumpy and mean and nasty, you know, and everything. And I thought, man, how are people seeing? I said, now, I'm not working for Walmart. Yes, the Lord has put in me the desire to of the ministry. But He's also put it necessary that I work. I'm serving Him. That's what the text is. We're serving the Lord. That ought to change the way we look at our job, the way we work for individuals. We're working for the Lord. You see, when I come to realize, yes, in a sense, I was working for Walmart, but ultimately, I'm working for the Lord. He's my master. He has given me this job. This is where He wants me. Yes, He's put in my heart the desire of the ministry, but because He's one able to supply what we had needed, the Lord give us the means of supply, and I'm working for Him. Changed my countenance, and I tried to make an effort to go in there with a smile and joking and carrying on with my co-workers, that I might be a good testimony, and that the name of God and His doctrine be not blasphemed, even though Walmart wasn't a brother in Christ. They're, I call them the God of this world. Their policies are right in line with the government that we have here in this country, and have been for many years. And they would move us on a dime into the world, one world government, right along with everyone else. So let us keep that in mind. Now, back to our text in Ephesians. He says, to them that are your masters in the flesh, servants, be obedient to them that are masters according to the flesh. Well, so here he is taken off of God. He's not talking about we're the servant of Lord Jesus Christ. He's our master. We're to be obedient. He says, yes, you are obedient to the Lord Jesus Christ, but in regards to the physical, in regards to the flesh, your masters according to the flesh. Do you see that in obeying our masters who are fleshly, we're obeying the Lord Jesus Christ? You see, He's the one that commanded it. He's the one that's given it to us. It's His will that we do that. So His meaning is concerning things which are physical. Concerning, we would say, the workplace. Obey with fear and trembling. Yes, obey with fear and trembling. That is with honor, with reverence. Yes, fearing them because they're our masters. All those who are over us. In the physical sense, we are to honor, to obey, to reverence. Not wanting to displease them. Not wanting to displease them. We're not to see what we can do to displease our masters. Even when I was an unsaved man, I was not a union man. That is, I belonged to a union, but I was a union man. I didn't agree with unions. I still don't agree with you. It was necessary. Ohio was closed state. If your shop was union, that you had to belong to the union. You couldn't opt out. You had to belong to the union. That's just the way it was in Ohio. If you didn't like it and you didn't want to belong to the union, you could go look for a job, a shop, or place that wasn't union and work for them. Unions are wicked and evil. And they don't promote this. They don't promote you doing a good service that is well-pleasing to your earthly masters. They promote doing just enough to get by. And then if you don't do just enough to get by, they protect your job for you. I believe unions are a scourge on our country. But, well, I've got, that's political. Let me get out of that. I'm preaching the Word of God. I'm telling you what it says, and unions are contrary to that kind of work ethic. You see, turn with me to 1 Peter. 1 Peter, chapter 2, verse 18. Servants, be subject. You can transpose the word obedient. Subject. You can, over in Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 5, there the word obedient. Be obedient to your masters according to the flesh. You can transpose that word obedient there with the word subject. That's why it falls under the guidelines of submitting one to another, husbands to wives and wives to husbands, and children to their parents and parents to their children and servants to their masters and masters to the servants.
Servants, be subject to your masters with all fear. Not only to the good and gentle, but also to the froward, also to the harsh, also to the wicked and harsh, cruel taskmasters. Boy, that just goes against human flesh, doesn't it? To be subject to them, to be obedient to them, when they're harsh and cruel to you?
Boy, it gets my dander up. Well, yeah, these things aren't according to the flesh, are they? According to the Spirit of God. We that are saved, we that are born again, we that are members of the Lord's church, we have the Spirit of God dwelling in us. We should not give place to the flesh. We should not yield our members as servants of the flesh. But we should yield our members as servants of God. Yield ourselves members as servants of the Spirit of God. The Spirit of God is leading, guiding, and directing us to be subject and to be good and with all fear to our masters, even those who are harsh and cruel. Taskmasters to us as well. Well, that's just a start. We'll stop there this afternoon.